Good morning, Gone Wild Audio. I wanted to record something today since I had time, but I didn't have another script ready or any good ideas. So I looked up the mixture questionnaire and I decided that it was time you guys got to know me a little better. So on with the show. Do post tags matter to you, or do you just read the title? The way I decide what to listen to. Sometimes I'm in the mood for a male voice and sometimes a female, so I mean, I listen to both, but that's the first thing I look for, depending on what mood I'm in. After that, I check the tags basically to see if there's anything I don't want to listen to. I'm pretty open about what I listen to, but there are some things I don't really like. So if I don't see one of those tags, then I read the whole thing and I say, okay. Is this interesting to me based on both the tags and the title? So that is my thought process. There've only been a few things I've come across that I don't listen to. I'm not into water sports and I'm not into bestiality. So far, those are really the only tags that make me say, no, I am not gonna listen to this. And those aren't even all that common. So really, I listen to a lot. After listening to GWA, have you gotten any new kinks? Yes, but with the caveat that I haven't actually brought any of them into my real life. The best example, I suppose, is that I didn't realize I would find gay voyeur and exhibitionist tags to be so, great. I've listened to some really, really good audios that have made me very hot under the collar, with those tags, and I wouldn't have guessed that before I came here. And I don't have any real desire to start involving myself in that kind of behavior. I'm not gonna start peeking in my neighbor's windows, and I don't want to suddenly have sex in public, but I like hearing about it. So I suppose that's a new fantasy kink, but not one I'm going to practice. Next question. Do you like the sound of your own voice? Does anybody say no to that? I haven't listened to too many questionnaires, but if you don't like the sound of your own voice, then wouldn't it just be torture to edit yourself? I guess maybe those people don't edit, but I do. So yeah, I like the sound of my voice. I talk a lot. I have always been very talkative, so this seemed like a natural extension of that. I do edit, so I do listen to myself a lot. Which kind of audio is your favorite? It is hard to pick just one, and I know that's a cop out, but I do enjoy a lot of different things. I suppose my favorite would be. Well, it's two, but they go together. I like DOM audios and I like sub audios, either individually or if there's one where you've got both voices going on. I strongly, strongly identify as a sub, and that is going to keep coming up in the later questions. But so I like listening to the DOM audios for obvious reasons because they just straight up turn me on. I like listening to the sub audios too because I identify with them and I feel what they're feeling or what I'm supposed to be feeling is that it's not so much that I'm responding to what the narrator is doing as so much pretending I am. So it's just the other side of the same coin. Do I have any regrets about clips I've made? Well, I've only done one here before this, and I've done a few over on our recordings, and I haven't regretted any of them because none of them have made somebody message me and say, hey, I figured out who you are, and I'm gonna out you to everyone you know. So I haven't had really, aside from that, I haven't had time to regret any of them. Like, there isn't something, oh, I wish I hadn't posted that, because then I would just take it down. Would you have sex while a porno is being played? Yes, I would. I have. It's not something that I do a lot, and it's not something that's a particular fantasy of mine. I have watched porn with some partners before, and mostly it's just, you know, we sometimes that's what we do to get in the mood. And once, I think it's only happened once, maybe twice, we just didn't make it to the bedroom and left the porno on. Well, once was more deliberate. Like, we're like, we're actually going to have sex to this porno. It was more of a conscious choice. And once it was just, well, let's just get started. What is your most embarrassing or funny sexual experience alone or with someone else? This is a doozy. I feel bad for myself, but everyone's inexperienced once, but I feel really, really bad for the guy. So I was a virgin in the important ways. I know there's a lot of types of virginity. I had done some fooling around, but there had been no penis in the vagina, and that's generally the one that's considered the big one. And that was the one I wanted to have. I was definitely in the middle of my sexual awakening, and I'm like, I want now. So I was dating this guy, and we had talked quite a bit, actually, about what we wanted and what we expected of each other. I make it sound really mature, but we were in our late teens, so it didn't go as smoothly as I'm making it sound. But we basically came up with, yes, I know that you, Lena, are interested in having sex with me, but I am not interested in having sex with you right now. And if you're going to be with someone, you've got to respect their boundaries, so I didn't push. But eventually it came out that his lack of interest in the penis in the vagina was basically that he was terrified of getting somebody, in this case me, pregnant. And I understand that. It's not that I'm trying to downplay it and make it sound like he was being unreasonable, but there's all sorts of precautions you can take. I mean, I was totally willing to take all the necessary precautions if I could get some. But he didn't want to, and I didn't like that, but I had romantic feelings for him too. We had a relationship, and I respected his decision. So one day, we were at his house. We were alone, I think in the basement. We were making out, and things were a little hotter than usual. I mean, we were pretty repressed because I didn't want things to go too far because he didn't want to have sex with me. But things were starting to get warmer than that. And all of a sudden he says, well, I have a treat for you. And he pushes me, you know, off of him a little, and he starts undoing his belt buckle and taking off his pants. And I was like, inside I was just fireworks, because I was like, oh, it's finally gonna happen. It's right now. Yay! Let's do this. So I start, you know, taking off some of my clothes too, but he says no, and he stops me. And he pulls his dick out of his boxers, and he just says, here you go. And my excited fireworks brain switches over into total shock. I mean, that's it? You just get your dick out and you want me to play with you and you think that's what I want? I was dumbfounded, I guess is the right word. I just could not believe it was actually that was what was happening. He knew that's not what I wanted. And he was expecting me to be grateful that I got to give him a hand job. So, you know, I started touching him, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I was really inexperienced. And so, fortunately for both of us, we heard the front door open and close upstairs. And one of his family had come home, and we didn't expect anyone to be there, and, you know, called out, hey, is anybody here? So we had a few seconds to put ourselves back together and pretend that we hadn't just been doing what we were doing. And that was the end of it, luckily, because I really don't want to think too hard about what might have happened if we had kept going, because, I mean, it sounds awful of me now, but I was just so mad. Because I was like, really, really, it's so hard to describe. Okay, it's embarrassing for both of us because I didn't handle it well. I just could not believe that, I mean, if somebody said, I have a treat for you now to me, if somebody said that to me in a dom voice, I would get on my knees. I would have my lips wrapped around that cock in a heartbeat, and I would be grateful. But that's not the relationship I had with this guy. At that point, I didn't even really know that about myself, and I certainly had never given anybody a blowjob before. So now, it seems like such a small thing, but at the time, I was furious. Now, we didn't stay together too much longer after that. It never really came up again, and nothing like that ever happened again. But we never talked about it either. And we should have. I can admit that now. We should have talked about it. I should have been able to tell him how it made me feel in a mature, responsible way. But God, we were like, I was either 17 or 18 at this point, and I was just, I was not that mature. I did end up dumping him. Not too long after that. Another month or two, maybe. I don't remember exactly. There were other issues between us. Some of them romantic, and some of them definitely sexual, because we were just not compatible. We didn't want the same things. We didn't want the same things from each other. So, yeah, that was incredibly embarrassing. More for him, in my mind, than for me, but I can admit that I didn't handle it well. Okay, moving on. Would you prefer to watch others have sex or have others watch you have sex? If it's a binary choice between the two, I would prefer to watch. I already said I'm not much of an exhibitionist sexually. I mean, I don't want to get caught in public. I don't want to do all that stuff. But I wouldn't necessarily mind watching others have sex. Of course, if I hypothetically get to go to an orgy, which I never have and don't really see that I ever will, although you never know. Just in theory, hypothetical orgy, I would like to do both. And I imagine in an orgy situation, even if I didn't want people to watch me, they would be anyway. Because that's what orgies are all about. So, what is the weirdest way you have ever gotten yourself off? Okay, this one might actually be a little embarrassing for me. So, a little bit later in my life, I went away to school for college, and that meant that when I finally got myself in a sexual relationship with someone in college, when I went home for break, suddenly I was without sex. Now, I didn't actually masturbate that much as a child, and when you hear women say that, you know, some people don't believe them. I remember doing a little exploring just before puberty, but then when puberty happened, I just didn't. I don't know. I just didn't. Not much anyway. So I didn't really have that much masturbation experience. And then when I became sexually active, suddenly I was like, well, I want to get off and no one is here to help me. So I didn't have any toys and I did try just using my fingers, but I didn't really know how I felt right away. And I was like, I need something in me. So I went to the bathroom. This is in the middle of the night. I quietly went to the bathroom and I found a toothbrush case, like the kind that you use when you travel. And I'm picturing one in my head that I'm sure everyone has seen that's long and narrow and just big enough for a tooth, one toothbrush. That's not actually what I had. We had much older, sturdier ones that probably from the design from the 70s. They were much thicker plastic. And they were probably big enough for two toothbrushes if you wanted to carry two toothbrushes together for some reason. And they were ridged, which I don't know if someone was intending this to be used as an impromptu sex toy, but it helped. So I used a toothbrush holder on myself, and then it got the job done. And since I've had experience with real toys since then, I won't say it was the best thing I've ever had, but it got the job done. And then the next morning, I woke up before everyone else to go clean it off and put it back. Yeah, I was tempted to throw it away, but I couldn't have explained where it went if somebody had noticed it was missing, so I just washed it off really, really well. I had considered going to the kitchen and trying to find something, but we didn't have anything suitable lying around. And if I'd found a cucumber, I wouldn't really have had an explanation for where it had gone. Because I wasn't about to put it back in the kitchen. Because I think getting up in the middle of the night for a midnight snack and eating a cucumber isn't really that believable. So, fortunately, I didn't have that because there wasn't a cucumber handy, or a banana, or anything else that you might substitute for a penis. Okay, what is the fastest way to get you to come? What is the fastest way to get me to come? Myself, I had a rabbit vibrator. Sadly, it has broken since then, and I have not replaced it, so I do not have one anymore. I have other things, but the rabbit was the best for speed, because I could stimulate my G-spot with it, and the rabbit ears going on my clit at the same time. So if I were properly warmed up, once I actually started using the toy, I think the fastest I ever came was probably somewhere around 45 seconds to a minute. Obviously, that's, you know, with me already being aroused. I would read erotica or maybe watch some porn or, you know, whatever, and then go to town on myself. I have other toys now, and I like them just fine, but they don't quite have the same speed going for them, which is fine because you don't always have to get off in a minute. In terms of what someone can do to me to get me to come quickly, I've never actually gone for speed in a sexual encounter. I've never raced someone to orgasm. I know that's a game that people have played, and it even kind of sounds like fun, but I've never done it. So I can't answer that exactly, but by myself, my record is probably around a minute. Oh, I lost my place on the list. Where am I? What is something about someone that can instantly turn you off? Physically, there isn't much. I do have a type I'm attracted to, and no, I'm not going to tell you what it is. But, you know, I have been attracted to people who don't fit that type. It's not so narrow, my brain isn't so narrow that you have to have these five physical qualities or I won't be attracted to you. But definitely something that will turn me off physically is bad body odor. Now, it's not all body odor. I don't want you to think if you're a sweaty guy that that's going to make sure that no one ever wants to be anywhere near you. But sexual attraction, smell is a big component of that. It just is, biologically. So if somebody smells bad, you don't want to be near them. I actually got my first kiss from someone back in high school. I was totally into him. He and I got along great. We've been friends for a while, and then in one of those sudden, why didn't I ever notice that you were so attractive sort of situations, we both decided that we were hot and maybe should try dating. But then he kissed me, and I was close to him, and his breath was bad, and his body odor was bad, and I actually was physically repulsed. I mean, I wanted to be nice about it, so I tried to hide that, but yeah, we didn't get very far. We didn't stay together very long. I don't think he was that pleased with me either, but that's probably because I was trying to hide that I thought he smelled bad. On the other hand, you know, it's not just that it's body odor, because I have definitely loved the way that some of my partners have smelled. So, I mean, it's not just, I don't want anyone to be discouraged, but that's my physical turnoff. In terms of other turnoffs, personality-wise, the thing that will make me completely unattracted to even the most gorgeous man instantly is misogyny. I mean, I don't think anyone here is going to call me out for being a woman and be derogatory just for the sake of being derogatory, but I have definitely met people in my life who do. Men who, you know, will make horrible assumptions and sweeping generalizations and say stupid fucking shit to my face about me because I'm a woman, and that is the worst thing in the world. So, yeah, misogyny, big turnoff. Okay, favorite place to come or have someone come on you? I won't say no to much. I don't know that I have a favorite spot to allow someone to come on me. I've taken shots in a couple of places, including the face, which I know is something that a lot of people really enjoy. It's not so much that I enjoy it myself, but it's something I'm willing to indulge if it's something my partner wants. It is problematic, though, because I did once have someone insist that I keep my eyes open, and that is my least favorite spot to get come in, is my eyes, because for anyone who hasn't experienced semen in the eyes, it stings. It stings like fury, and I am a crying, sobbing mess when that happens. So, if you don't want me to be a crying, slobbering mess after you've just gotten your rocks off, then you're gonna let me close my eyes. Okay, what music would you like to have playing while you're having sex? I've never had sex to music before. I've done a lot of things, and that is not one of them. I don't even know that I necessarily have any interest in it. I love music. I'm a very musical person. I've been singing my whole life. I would love to learn to play an instrument, although I never have, and I listen to music all the time, but it's never come into the bedroom with me for some reason. I don't know. Barry White is what everyone says, and I don't even know that I would. I think my first choice, if I were to try it, would be Seal. He's got a sexy voice. And I know he's also a popular choice because he was asked about it in an interview once. I forget exactly when. And basically his response to how do you feel about people having sex to your music was that he felt it was a privilege to be invited into people's bedrooms. And I thought that was such a classy way of answering the question. I was just like, wow, that's really cool. So I suppose since he thinks it's a privilege, then I would give him a try. If I decided I wanted to do that. Okay. What do you prefer to be called or say? I've already admitted that I'm a sub. My preferred term for my dom is sir. I have used master occasionally. I will not use daddy. You're never gonna hear any daddy little girl stuff from me. It's okay that other people like it. It weirds me out. I do not enjoy that particular dynamic. So, yeah, no daddies for me. Sir is fine. Master's good too. As for what I prefer to be called, I like being a bad girl when it's warranted. I like earning my good girls. I've been called slut. I've been called whore. I even got the C-bomb dropped on me once. If you use cunt in casual conversation, I will not be happy. But in the middle of a particularly intense session, it came up and I just went with it. Which kind of surprised me because along with the misogyny thing, I hate cunt as an insult to a woman. Like, I would rather be called a bitch than a cunt. Bitch, I at least feel like I could earn because, you know, I know it means a female dog and it's derogatory, but still, the connotations are different. Cunt is just foul. So anyway, yeah, I've been called a lot of things. But I like bad girl and good girl. Am I a moaner, screamer, grunter, growler, or silent? I started out when I was less experienced being pretty quiet. I would moan some, but I sort of had to be encouraged to. Now I moan. I suppose you would call it shrieking, not screaming. I definitely cry out, but I don't do the full-throated scream. Usually I've been in living situations where the thickness of the wall is a factor, and I don't really want to have the cops called on me for having sex. So screaming doesn't really happen, although I can get fairly loud, and sometimes I have been told to be quiet. Have to be quiet sometimes. When was the worst time I've been turned on? Oh, hands down. Family car trip. It was miserable. A week of driving around with my family, and we went cool places, and I enjoyed the vacation overall, but I was very, very much missing my boyfriend, and I was pretty miserably turned on missing him the whole vacation. I couldn't talk to anyone about it. I couldn't admit that was a problem. I just sort of had to grin and bear it. I think my parents at least knew something was up with me, like I was feeling out of sorts and cranky, but I don't think they knew why. At least I hope they didn't know why. Okay, do I consider hair pulling sexy? Yes. Yes, I do. I wouldn't want someone to come up and pull my hair randomly, or just pull on enough that would hurt and my eyes would water. But if a partner wants to grab my ponytail or my braid, because yes, I do have long hair, I'm willing to admit that. I have long hair and I do not mind it being pulled. In the proper situation, anyway. Do I enjoy bondage? Yes, yes I do. I haven't gone very far with bondage. It's been pretty tame, as I know bondage can go. We haven't done very much extreme stuff. So mostly I've been tied down to a bed. I've been tied to myself, like my hands bound to each other or my ankles or both. Bonus part of this question, I especially enjoy bondage when I'm blindfolded. That is a bonus for you guys, because blindfolds are not mentioned anywhere, but that is an important part of things, is I really do like not knowing exactly what's going to happen next. Obviously only with someone I trust, though. So moving along from bondage into other things about trust, are you into playing with hot wax? Well, I've never done it, but I suppose this is a kink I forgot to mention that Gone Wild Audio may have given me with the earlier question. I might be willing to try that. I listened to a hot wax play audio recently, and it was really hot, and I think I might want to try that sometime. I'm nervous about it, though, I can admit that, because I do like a little pain with my pleasure. But I haven't really pushed myself too far. I'm still sort of exploring that line. And I am afraid that hot wax might be on the wrong side of the line. So I'm nervous about trying it, because I've had bad play sessions before. And having to stop in the middle when something goes too far, or not stopping and risking sub drop, it sucks. So, yes, doms, take care of your partners, because holy shit, sub drop sucks. Yeah, I'm a little worried that it might be too much for me. But I'm not opposed to trying it once. So, maybe. Okay, would you ever kiss someone of the same sex? Yes, I would. I have. Not often. And not really with any intentions of doing anything more. It was with female friends at a party. It happened twice, once with one woman and once with a different woman at a later party who had seen the first kiss. So now we're collectively known as the girls who les out when we've had a couple of drinks, which isn't entirely fair. All we did was close mouth kissing, like it was barely anything, but you know, when you're at a party with lots of alcohol, people will talk. So my sexual experience with women is limited to two kisses and some over-the-clothes groping. I had my breasts groped by a drunk woman who was kissing me. So yeah, that's what I've done with a woman. Have I ever tried anal? Yes, I have. It's not something I do often, but it is something I enjoy. And yeah, I guess that's all we need to say about that. I've done it and I like it. Have I ever been double penetrated? Not by two people. I have been double penetrated by a person and a toy. It was actually a birthday present, because I've never had a proper threesome with any combination of partners. And it is something I fantasized about, but in my situation, it's not entirely practical to try and invite a third person into my bedroom. So when I confessed this threesome fantasy to my partner at the time, he came up with that as a, well, this is the best we can do, happy birthday. And It was awesome. I'm not gonna lie, it was awesome, and it was really sweet that he did that for me, and yeah, so I've done it. Have I ever had sex in public? No, and I really don't have any interest in doing it. As I said earlier, the idea of it is kind of a turn-on when I listen to someone else's audio, but I think if I tried, I would be too scared of getting caught. Like, that's not... The worry of getting caught, the thrill, that doesn't turn me on. That would just make me scared. So I don't think I would have a very good time if I did try. I mean, who knows? I might be wrong. Maybe I would try it and I'd get away with it and then I would be like, this is awesome! But I doubt that's true. Do I like being handled roughly? Yes, sometimes. I mean, I'm a sub. I get rough treatment and I enjoy it. I don't always want it, and it's very possible to go too fast. Like, I wouldn't want to walk into a bedroom cold and just start getting smacked around. You gotta warm me up. You gotta tell me I'm a bad girl, or at least start out with lighter smacking around. But you can't go from 0 to 100 instantly. You gotta take it in stages. Once I'm there, though, yeah, I can take a bit of punishment. And I like to. Am I very verbal in bed? Yes, I am. Not always. I mean, sometimes you get the sweet romantic moaning sex and you don't have to talk a lot. But if my sir gives me instructions of what I am supposed to say, I will say it. I've been asked to say, well, I've been commanded to say a lot of things about how much I want something, or I have to say thank you sometimes after every spank. So yes, I talk a lot. Do I like receiving pain or giving it? Well, I think you can answer this question for me at this point. I did try doming somebody once, and I don't feel like I did a bad job in the sense that we weren't very satisfied with the experience, but it wasn't harmful. You know, I didn't send someone into sub drop. I didn't make somebody run from their room screaming. It just wasn't good. So we didn't do that again. Because it turns out I am not a switch. I am a sub, and that is fine. Okay, what is my favorite item for spanking? It depends on the goal. If I'm going for endurance, if I'm trying to break my spank record, I want it to be an open hand and nothing more. It's easier for my spanker to control, and it just, over a long period of time, it doesn't feel quite as intense. If we're going for short and sharp, if we're going for short and sharp, then I think my favorite is a wooden spoon, with the caveat that there's a lot of things I haven't experienced. I don't have a flogger, I don't have a crop, I don't have a proper paddle, although a book has filled in. A good hardcover book is pretty close to a paddle in some ways, so, I mean, I would call that paddling, because I'm not going to call it booking. But, wooden spoon's good. That's the one I like the most. Okay, if I were a person of the opposite sex for a day, what would I do? I would definitely masturbate. Is there anybody who wouldn't at least masturbate? Because I want to know what it feels like. Because I want to practice my technique. I don't necessarily think I'm as good at hand jobs as I am as other acts. I'm probably best at blowjobs in terms of a giving act, you know. So there's that. So I would masturbate. And if this is a consequence-free type situation, like if I were just a guy and I wasn't Lena as a guy, if I didn't have to deal with my own life that day, I would definitely attempt to have sex with a woman too, because I would like to know what that feels like from the other side. On the other hand, if it's someone made a magic wand and made me a guy for a day, I probably wouldn't try and have sex with a woman because, wow, would that be weird? I wouldn't want to deal with the aftermath of that. But yeah, you know, the whole thing is pretty preposterous anyway, so I suppose we can say it's consequence free. What would I do in life if I did not need to work for money? Oh, this is easy. I would learn how to do every single type of craft I have ever been interested in and just throw myself into creativity. I do know how to do a lot of things. I go through phases with some crafts. Like, a couple of years ago, I decided I wanted to learn how to do hand bookbinding. So I looked it up on the internet because the internet is a wonderful place. And I played around with pieces of cardboard and string and paper and made myself a couple of little notebooks. So that was fun, and I did it for a couple of weeks, and then I haven't done it since, but I'm still glad I did it. There are some crafts I've done my whole life, and I will keep doing, you know, sometimes I'm more interested in one than the other, but there are so many things I would love to learn to do that, for whatever reason, I haven't. Like, I would love to find, you know, old furniture in thrift shops and refinish it, but that requires tools that I don't have space for. I don't have space to do the furniture itself. I would love to do stone carving, but oh man, talk about expensive hobby to pick up. I mean, stone is not cheap. The tools aren't cheap. You can't just do that in your living room unless you like living with dust everywhere. So you need studio space or something like it. And that's just not something I have at the moment. So I would... Actually, you know, if I didn't need to work for money, I would buy a fixer-upper house, and I would decorate it, and I would fix it, and I would learn how to do all that stuff I want to know how to do, and I would just make it the most crazy, awesome house that I could ever possibly live in. I wouldn't live there while I was working on it, too. It would be, like, the space I would keep my apartment, or get a different apartment if money wasn't an issue, you know, whatever that logistics works out to be. But I would fix up a house, and that would be fun. Reddit's a really, really good enabler for that, because you keep seeing stuff like people covering their bathroom floor with pennies, and people refinishing tables and doing cool things, and I don't know, it's just, it would be really fun. Do I have any scars? Yes, I have some. I have some scars from minor accidents, you know, just bumped into something, got cut, you know, nothing terribly interesting or distinctive. I have some burn scars on my hands. Nothing too serious, but you know, bacon will spatter, and sometimes it spatters really badly. What is my most used phrase, dirty or not? Well, I touched on this a little bit already. It's thank you. Because who doesn't say thank you a lot in their everyday life? And then I do say it a lot in the bedroom. Yeah, I say thank you, sir. I say thank you to my coworkers. I say thank you to my parents. I say thank you to the rest of my family. I say thank you to my friends. Fortunately, when I say thank you, sir, it's an entirely different thank you, and I'm not thinking of it all day. Because, you know, that's never happened. Okay, last question. How do you feel about aliens and ghosts, real or not? As far as the existence of aliens, I subscribe to the theory that there may very well be life out there somewhere. And I'm pretty sure that this has a name, because I remember reading about it once, but it was a long time ago. Basically, the idea is maybe life has developed elsewhere, but the average lifespan of a civilization on Earth isn't all that long. So the idea that some other alien race develops a civilization that is advanced enough to get into space and to travel interstellar distances and find us is pretty slim. And even if that happens, there's no guarantee it would happen while we're around to see it. It might have happened millions of years ago, or it might not happen for millions of years yet. So, you know, basically the idea that two civilizations actually coming into existence and meeting somehow from across the galaxies is so astronomically small. But, you know, that idea does allow at least that the existence of something could be out there. As for ghosts, they're not real. I enjoy ghost stories. I read them a lot when I was a kid. It was actually one of the first things I tried my hand at writing. They weren't very good or scary, and they plagiarized extensively, but that's what happens when you're 7 years old and decide you want to write something. I don't really watch horror things now because my childhood exposure to ghost stories has given me nightmares. I mean, even if I'm not scared of something, when I see it, like, I could sit through a zombie movie and not be scared. Maybe, especially if it's not well done. But then I'll have nightmares about zombies for weeks. Like, I had nightmares after playing The Walking Dead video game, which I love. And I'm not ashamed to admit, because, hey, this is Reddit. We're video gamers, like, all over the place. I love The Walking Dead video game. But yeah, after I played the first episode, I had nightmares about zombies. They were coming to get me, they were in my living room, and it was terrifying. So anyway, I got a little off topic. I don't really believe in zombies either, but they're still very scary. I don't believe ghosts are real. I don't believe in poltergeists. I don't believe in loved ones coming back from the dead with messages in dreams or not in dreams and anything. I don't believe in any of that. Which is an odd place to end things, that's the last question. Well, if you're still with me, I realize this is kind of long, but if you're still with me, thank you. And I hope that you know me a little bit better now, and I hope you enjoyed this. I will be back sometime soon with something that's not a questionnaire, I hope. I have a few ideas brewing. Yeah, this was fun.